a few chashuva people sponsored to Mitch Musso. Joshua Siegel was the head counselor in the Soul for a few good years. Remember him? He was a major part of what we did there, what we accomplished there. So big shout out to Joshua Siegel. Yitzi Schwab is a really old chashuva. You know Yitzi Schwab? There. He's learning. Yitzi Schwab is mamish. Old, that guy, the Chicago guy who lives here, not lives here, his wife works here, who's here, he comes from Shabbos for the Shmuz and that stuff. So he was in my shiur with Yitzi Schwab a long, long time ago, and also Bila Nishmas Ruben Ben Eliezer. So I want to learn Pesukim with you, and we'll learn some Pesukim together, and obviously the Pesukim will lead us somewhere, but you know, a few times in the summer I said that some of these things are really conversations, and tonight also it's a real conversation. This is kind of like compensating, overcompensating, going in the opposite direction. Last night something really troubled me. Last night was an amazing, beautiful, extremely well-produced event. There was something bothering me, and I was able to put my finger on it today. What bothered me, and it has nothing to do with the event, it has to do with me. Was that when I was speaking, I completely felt out of my element, and I was trying to figure out like why am I not comfortable? Why am I not feeling it right now? And also because I had very confusing instructions on my time constraints. I was told initially 15 minutes, and then I was told 20 minutes, and then when I got on stage, they told me strictly 10 minutes. So I had to like play with what I wanted to say. But that wasn't what was bothering me. What was bothering me, I realized, was that there was very strong lights in my face. And that's fine. I could handle that. But I wasn't able to see anybody. So since I was blinded by the lights, I guess mentally, psychologically, it was as if I was talking to a Zoom. But not even a Zoom of people, just a Zoom, like a recording on Zoom. And I can't talk to not people. The two hardest... I know myself, the two most uncomfortable, hardest type of speaking type engagements that I have is speaking to girls and speaking and things like that. It's only and nothing to do with girls. It's just that I don't know the crowd. So I'm who am I speaking to? So they tell me, go speak. But I don't know who I'm speaking to. Just now, even tomorrow, I'm supposed to speak to like the some kind of base measures girls program here. And I asked them, I think six times I asked them, please tell me where you're at, like what do you want to discuss? What's a topic? I just need to get a sense of who are you? And six unresponded to requests. I went through two people, and okay, so it's very uncomfortable. When you're not talking to people, it's very uncomfortable. Why am I saying this? It's very uncomfortable for me. Why am I saying this? Because this is a topic that I need to talk to people about. And this is a real human topic. And I need people to engage in this. And since Lefko is going to wait to give Chazar Shir tomorrow night, when the whole sug is over, you know, he's very well prepared for Chazar Shir tomorrow night. So I don't feel like we're in a rush either. And I'm happy to entertain a conversation. And the camp is gone tonight. There's no, Yimamish, if you want to, last night we spoke about stealing. If you want to steal, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night to go raid every bunk. And nobody's here. No. Okay, so tonight could be a night to have a very extremely mature conversation, really, really mature conversation. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells us over here, we went through the Midbar 40 years, and then he describes, it sounds like the purpose. So you went, Arbaim Shana B'Midbar, Laman Anoscha, to make you suffer. Meaning we know the Meraglim died in the Midbar, but it doesn't sound like we're talking about the Meraglim here. We're talking about the kids who are younger, that they didn't die because of the Meraglim. Just the regular people, the purpose of traveling 40 years in the Midbar, Laman, for the purpose, Anoscha, to make you suffer. And then, there's no Vit, it's not Vit Linasoscha, it's a Hemshech. Laman Anoscha Linasoscha, to make you suffer and to test you. Test is a hard word, because in English, I don't know if test means the same thing in English as it does in Lashon Kodesh. In Lashon Kodesh, test means nisayon. Nisayon doesn't mean test. Nisayon means a means to development. That's really what it means. A means to development. Test is not the right word. So lamana noscha, to cause you to suffer, linasoscha, to develop you. Odas, so I could know, as a share bilvovcha, hasish mor mitzvot sovim lov. If you're gonna keep steady, keep strong with the Derech Hashem. And then ayancha, and I made you suffer. Vayari vech, and I starved you. When did he starve us? Ya'achilcha es hamon, when I fed you mon. I thought the man was amazing. I thought the man you could decide is whatever you want. So the Mefarshim here explained why there was an inyan of being starved, feeling starved, when it came to the man. Okay, the pasuk continues. Okay. Simlas chalo valsa me'alecha. That's the message we had this morning. That the clothes grew as we grew, like a shell or like a covering. It's tomorrow's Chazar Shir. V'yodata im levavecha. And know in your heart, kikasher yiyaser ishes beno, that the same way a father miyaser, what does miyaser mean? Miyaser means hurts, causes pain, tests, challenges, yisurin. What does yisurin mean? Usually yisurin means tzad. The same way a father flits. Flit is the best word. Flit is like a little seder word. So just like a father afflicts his son, Hashem Elokechem Yasreka. Hashem also afflicts you. But even with all that, don't forget the mission. V'shamartes mitzvos Hashem Elokech l'olechus b'drachav l'yira oso. Don't let that take you off the path. Stay steady, stay strong, stay focused on the path. There's obviously, I'm not going to talk about the diukim and the psukim and to give a good shot. Mustama, if you have time, you could come up with a great shot. These are psukim that the Mefarshim, to what I've seen, the job they've done is not good enough. There's something here that's kedai to dig up. And to work on these psukim, to really understand all these inyanim, kedai to dig up. I'm going to speak a little bit superficially about these inyanim, not within the psukim, but it's kedai, if you have time, I'm going to try to make time for myself also, to work out these psukim and see clearly what Moshe is trying to convey to us. But we'll speak about a little bit, not superficial, but a little bit more superficial. So the Sfarno writes, and Akan for the Torah portion of this discussion, the Sfarno writes, Miyasrecha. What does that mean, Miyasrecha? To afflict you. No simcha b'mitzvosav. He gives you, through his mitzvos, Musar Neos. Neos. He gives you Musar. Very hard word. What does Musar mean? Affliction? He gives you affliction, neos, nice, good affliction. El hashlemus, or neos could mean like to lead you el hashlemus. Hamachuven meito, that he intends for you. So the affliction is taking you to shlemus that he intends for you. Let's talk, let's have a conversation about this and maybe we could have some Havana. There's a phrase, there's an expression people say that I used to like until life gets hard, and then I didn't like it. There's a phrase that everybody says, I don't know where this comes from, but there's a phrase people say that Hashem doesn't give you more than you can handle. And it's a phrase of consolation. It's a phrase of necham, that it kind of is trying to tell you that if you have a nisayon, and it's very difficult, just know you could handle it. And so it's a good phrase. It gives people chizuk until it doesn't. Until you reach a really hard nisayon that you can't handle. And as you get older, you will have these nisayonos. You should say amen, because it means you're alive. Because if you're not having these nisayonos, it means we buried you and you're not around anymore. You're going to have these nisayonos that when people come around and people try to comfort you and they say, every nisayon you could handle, you know, I'm not gonna curse in public, but you really want to curse in public. And then you want to tell that person, I'm not going to say that, not a phrase I'm uncomfortable saying, but too big of a crowd to say, go to wherever, you know? Go to Gehenna. You know, please don't come at me with these types of lines. And I'm not giving the example of a person sitting shiva, but obviously anybody with a fraction of intelligence realizes when you go to a shiva house, you don't go to a person and say, Hashem could give you what you could handle. You go to Gehenna. Anybody coming to my house? I'm dealing with a difficult situation. I'm not interested in this. And tonight, I was thinking about this pasuk throughout the day. This didn't come to me just now. But tonight, when we went, I was hoping maybe he's going to say something. The hostage was going to say something. What's his first name again?
Andre.
I was hoping Andre would say something to, like, give me a little inspiration to try to get me something to think about, something to be Meir. And he did, and he really did. And he said a line. He said, nothing surprising, nothing didn't expect, but he said a line. But it was the degree that he said it was very I found very unexpected. He said when I was taken in captivity, I was taken hostage. He said I was not prepared for that. Okay, shkayach. I don't think any of us are. Nobody wakes up in the morning and does hachanas for that kind of nisayon. But he it sounded like he was expressing. He didn't really verbalize it to the extent to the degree that it was true. But you heard clearly in his tone that he was not in a good place. That's what it sounds like he was saying. I thought he was saying. You're saying emotionally, mentally, psychologically, he was not in a good place. He escaped Russia, he came to Israel, and he wasn't emotionally ready for this. And then he said, life is unpredictable. This is not no chidushim, he said, but to hear it from a guy who went through that type of nisayon is a little bit enlightening. And especially when these phrases fly around the world and people say, whatever challenge you have, it's a challenge that you certainly could handle. And he said clearly, and it just echoed what I've come to start to believe, and he said that I was not prepared for that. I was really unprepared. I was extremely ill-prepared for that. And even the way he handled it, which everybody's got to do whatever they could muster up just to manage. What did he say? He said, he repeated to himself three words, health, life, you remember? Unharmed, live, health, something like that. Again, I don't think that's your typical, normal way to deal with that type of nisayon, but there is no typical, normal way to deal with that kind of nisayon. So in the craziness of that nisayon, then nobody's prepared for that. Don't tell anybody that you are put in that situation because you could handle it. And he came out. You know, he said one of the guys he was with ended up with a person that, especially Chaim, I think Chaim feels connected to, we all felt connected to when it happened, because everybody was talking about Hirsch Goldberg, because he was like the American kid. He was the classic American kid who was captured and his arm was blue. You know, they that video came out that they saw he lost his arm and then they threw him in the truck. And everybody was hoping. We tried to get that year in Mevasera, we tried to, I don't know if you were part of that, but we worked hard to try to get his parents to come in, and we wanted to invite all the sheep. It was a big event, but you know, obviously you can't ask or push or demand anything of anybody. So, but he was, and then when we found out he didn't make it, that was the worst. It was the worst to hear that. And he said his friend ended up with those guys over there, and what are you gonna tell his friend who didn't make it? Oh, you, that was what you could handle. Come on, let's be serious a little bit. So sometimes when you go through life, you see other people who have situations that they can't handle. We see it a lot. We see people, we call them nebels. Nebels, not necessarily because they do anything or they chose to be a nebel, but the circumstance of their lives is nebel. And we see a lot of people like that. And you say, I don't even want to say examples, because every example will trigger somebody. I'm not trying to trigger anybody's pain, but how do you not say examples? I don't want to say, it's hard to say examples. But you could think for yourself, I'm going back and forth in my head if I should say examples or not, because some examples you guys are not familiar with yet. Okay, I'll say an example you're not familiar with yet, just because you're not, you know, I'm just looking around the room, hoping that everybody's healthy in your family, but there's situations in life that and nobody in this room, as far as, unless you have some secrets we don't know about, nobody in this room struggles with fertility. Again, as far as we know. And none of you are struggling with having children at this age of your life. And you should never have that struggle. But Chas v'Shalom, if you see a couple like this, a couple one time told me, I lived in Ramat Eshkol when when we were not first married, but when we were early in our married life. And Ramat Eshkol is just a place of strollers. It's a few adults and a lot of strollers. It's a lot of strollers over there. And so one person shared to me that they're moving out of Ramat Eshkol because they don't have a stroller. And they lived there for too long without a stroller, they couldn't deal with it. So, but Hashem gives you a challenge you can handle. No, they couldn't handle it, and I respect that. And it was too hard to handle, because if everywhere you look there's a stroller, you can't do it. And that's one challenge that obviously is not okay to any of your lives yet. I hope it's not. Forgive me if it touches a personal chord with people you know, maybe, but I'm just giving one example that I hope is safe. But there are many, many, many other examples. And so you see these people with any example out there, and you say, Nebuch. And you look at them, you feel bad for these kinds of people, tough situation, tough life. Nebuch, you feel about these people. And we daven, we do daven, Shaloli Demi Sayon, that we shouldn't come to Demi Sayon. We daven, in Berchus HaShachar. We say Hashem shouldn't bring us to Nisayon. And I always struggle with that tefillah, because who are you kidding? So we daven, Hashem shouldn't bring us to Nisayon, but He will, and He does. Why should you expect to be any different? And the way we approach life, I find to be so fascinating, which is good, and we should continue to approach life like this, but it's extremely ignorant and naive. When you're young, you want to get married. That's a great thing. You should want to get married. Everybody should want to get married. But when you're looking for a wife, so you have, if you're involved in like Jewish, more connected to Jewish type culture, so Jewish type culture, they put a lot of value in finding the right wife, the right spouse. And they tell you, they encourage you, they advise you to make sure she's smart, because if she's smart, we know where you're holding. So if she's smart, your kids will be better adept for school. Life will be a little bit easier for them. Hopefully the intelligent genes will be the dominant genes. And so make sure you marry a smart girl. Your kids will be smart. And also make sure, if not rich, we're not going to... I hope nobody's pushing to marry rich. Marry rich is... There's nothing, a reason to do that. But for sure, you want to marry comfortable. Marry financially comfortable. Because if you marry somebody who's financially comfortable, so you don't have to struggle financially. If you're not on your feet, they could always help you and put you back on your feet. And they could, push you forward in life with jobs and career and professional. And you want to marry a girl, obviously, who's healthy. Because God forbid, if you found out that she had some history, some health history, or maybe something runs in her family. So it makes you nervous, because if she has a health history or something in her family, God forbid, you don't want to have kids. We're going to have that issue. And you want the family should be from. Obviously, you want her to be from, because if somebody's not from, it's a bad exposure. It might be a bad influence. On you have to spend yontifs there, Shabbosim. And why not be perfect already? At this point, since we're putting everything on the table, let's just look for perfect already. And what happens? I'll tell you what happens, if you want to be honest. You're going to marry, amen, we'll say amen to all these things. You're going to marry a healthy girl, amen. You'll marry a girl who's not struggling financially. You'll marry a girl who's, it's good, we're all on the same page here. You marry a girl who's smart, and you marry a girl who's good personality. You don't have to worry your kids are going to get bullied because you got bullied in school. But if your wife is cool, again, hopefully that will be the dominant gene, and your kids won't get bullied. One kid will take after you. Okay, you have to pay for one therapist. One therapist is cheaper than a bunch of therapists. And then what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is that you're a very athletic guy, and you married a very athletic girl because you want your kids to be cool. When your kids to grow up being the coolest kid in Marashah, winning the Mo Cup. He's going to be, they're going to chant MVP when he walks into the dining room. And what happens? What happens is your kid has a, God forbid, it shouldn't happen, but your kid has a asthma. Asthma is not the worst, there's much worse things than asthma. But he has a serious case of asthma, he can't play sports. You married an athletic girl, you're an athletic guy, and your kid has asthma. And you married the smart girl, and your kid has ADD. You can have a kid who has ADD, and he can't pay attention. And the pills don't help. He took this pill, it wasn't good for him. The other pill, he can't eat on that pill. The third pill, the dosage was too high, dosage was too low. You played with all the dosages. It wasn't working. your kid ends up in the resource room, and like you played all your cards right. You're nothing wrong with the resource room. Resource room is a great place. There's a great Jewish school. I don't want to say its name because I don't want to, but there's a great Jewish school in Manhattan that's made for, I think created for kids with some type of learning challenges and dyslexia. I have a couple of Talmidim who went there. I love this school so much. And it hurt me, it really hurt me a lot. It happened to me twice this summer, actually, not once. Twice this summer, I was walking and, you know, I try to make friends over here. So I said to a kid, like, oh, how you doing? What's your name? Where do you go to school? And he said that school. I'm like, that's a great school. It's an only school. No, I hate it. Our basketball team stinks. And my friends don't go to the school. And he's like, down. He's like, it sounded like a little bit maybe uncomfortable that he goes to the school. And the second kid was even uncomfortable telling me he went to that school. And I told him, like, that's the best school. It's such a great school. I have such great Talmidim who went to that school. It's a school that really caters to your needs. It's a great school. But they're embarrassed. So the kid, you know, the parents were brilliant. I've met Talmidim that, you know, both parents went to Ivy League schools and both parents were overachievers. And the kid is, you know, struggling to pull off an 82, and he studies. He studies and he struggles to get an 82. I don't want to say which school. He struggles to get an 82 in a school that it shouldn't be a struggle to get an 82. And it's hard for him. And parents, they played all the cards right. They married the right girl, they married the right spouse. And the reason why I find this to be ironic and naive and ignorant is because you think you're going to cheat the system. You're really planning to cheat the system. You really believe that you're going to come out clean. You think you're going to play all the genetic cards right, and Hashem won't get you. You're going to run away from it. You're going to hide in some corner. You're going to sail away on a boat. You're going to escape Nineveh, and he won't know where you are. He can't find you. And we live life like this. We're told to live life like this. We live in communities, and that's why I said this is a discussion, because I'm not saying this is wrong. I'm saying two opposite things, but they're both true. I'm not saying it's wrong to try to find a great spouse. That's crazy to say. Oh no, look for a girl who's handicapped in every way. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that every girl has many handicaps. And some of them you might not know, and she might not know either. And how many couples have I seen? And this is an unfortunate reality, but it's real, it's true. You should know this when you're young. How many couples have I seen that a woman, Nebuch, you'll never go through this unless you become extremely liberal, but a woman has very severe postpartum depression. And if you become very liberal, you might also have experienced postpartum depression. But a woman naturally, now, can somebody determine whose wife will experience extreme symptoms? And postpartum depression, I don't want to scare you, but it could last for not a short time. It sounds like, oh, postpartum, okay, so like 2 weeks after she gives birth, she's depressed. Chaim. You don't know what postpartum depression is. Postpartum depression, we could talk about years. And so like you say, okay, I'm not gonna have babies. I'm not gonna have kids. You're trying to run away from reality. You avoid reality. And so amazing girls, the best girl you marry. And the next thing you know, this bug, emotional bug, develops in her brain, this chemical imbalance, and she becomes, now but something happens and something goes off. And how many guys have I seen that you did everything right and you were valedictorian and summa cum laude and you graduated with all the honors and you got all the internships and you got v'chule v'chule, and then Bear Stearns, the company that you guys probably never heard of, but Bear Stearns, who used to be a big company, or the in the tax world, in the accounting world, there used to be a big five, and now there's a big four. So you were running the fifth, and today it went under. So you played all your cards right, and then the whole thing collapsed. And all your financial cards that you dealt to perfection, the whole tower fell apart. And so you made it that when you're young, and I say in a positive way, naive and not experienced and not exposed, so you worked out that this is gonna You'll never be a Nebuch. Like you see these Nebuchs in shul. This guy Nebuch has a child. This guy Nebuch has a health issue. This guy Nebuch has a financial issue. This guy Nebuch has a Shalom Bayis issue. This guy Nebuch has all the issues. And you say to yourself, I'm going to make sure I avoid that. I want to tell you a secret. You should know when you're young. Make a l'chaim on this secret. You're all going to be Nebuchs. You're all going to be Nebuchs. If you aren't already. Some of you are already. And that's a great society to be a part of. It's the most real society. I want a lot. I'm going to give a Shabbos shiur. I was told to staff, upper staff, adults. And I want a lot. I'm not going to do it, but I want a lot just to speak the praises of camp. Morasha Befrat and Camp Bechol. Because camp is a universe where there's acceptance and understanding. And when you meet people in camp, I feel my experience in camp has always been as an adult. Again, as a kid, you get bullied. It's a different kind of experience. But since I've passed the days of Mo Cup and 7 overtime basketball games, and now as an adult in camp, I feel among the adults in camp. And you could ask me, I met a lady tonight at the hostage speech. She came over to me and she said to me, you're never in the dining room. I needed to discuss something with you. How come you're never in the dining room? So you could say, like, I'm not really a part of camp, okay, good Kasha, but I do feel a very strong part, to be a strong part of camp. I feel I am. And could be nobody knows me, but I feel connected to the place. And so feeling connected to the place, I feel it's a place of tremendous acceptance and understanding. And very, very little judgment, very little criticism. And we could all be Nebuchs. So in this room where we have this little AA meeting in this room, and I say, we're all Nebuchs, and so some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, and that's great, it's great, but you're gonna join soon. You're gonna join soon. And I don't wanna say, hopefully it's later than sooner, because it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. You're gonna join soon. It might be later, it might be sooner, it might be twice, it might be 5 times. This guy was taken in captivity. Was that the last experience he'll have with a life-shattering nisayon? Probably not, if Hashem has his way. Because Hashem, if you read the psukim, and again, you got to do a good job at the psukim. If you read the psukim, Hashem says, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. This is the story of life. L'nasoscha. I'm going to cause you affliction. L'nasoscha. Not to make you suffer. I'm not trying to make you suffer. But I'm going to give you inui, l'nasoscha, to give you a means to change. Now here's where that line, I believe, it's probably the same pshat, but to say it in the way I'm about to say it carries a different connotation. Instead of saying that every challenge you're given is a challenge you could handle, the way I like to say it, not to others, but to myself, is the challenge that you're given, you can't handle. Can't. If it's a real challenge, you can't handle it. That's why it was given to you. It was given to you to transform. Because the person you are today, you can't handle that challenge. And if you try to continue to live as the person you are today and carry that challenge, it'll break you. Because it's nice to tell people the challenge you're capable of handling, but we all see and know broken people. If you don't know broken people, then you don't know enough people. But there's a lot of broken people. Now, how could it be a broken person if every challenge is something you could handle? So my life experience tells me that it's not true. Every challenge is exactly what you cannot handle. And it's meant to transform you. Now, we don't want to transform. Not because we're creatures of convenience or comfort. But wouldn't want to transform because we're complacent and we want things to go away. That's why I spoke in yeshiva. I gave a few shmuzin at the end of the year in yeshiva about this new havana, this new epiphany I had in tefillah, that most of our tefillahs are just Hail Marys. Hashem, I got big problems. Hail Mary, maybe you'll score me a touchdown on this one and save the day and I'll win the game. It's just Hail Marys. It's just like you can't even reach by a long shot the end zone. It's not even a Hail Mary. It's like a it's a flea flicker, you know, what are you, like, you know, backward passes, and you try and do one of the laterals, guys put laterals, like, you know, end of the game laterals on a dream, and the college football team when the band was already on, you know, we used to all those Gishmak videos. That's what you're doing. Like the band is already singing the end of the game, and you're throwing laterals to try to. That's our most of our tefillos are just like backward laterals, Hail Marys to try to get Hashem to save us, because we're kind of saying to Hashem, Hashem, listen, I'm not interested. I can't change. You told me I could handle it. I'll tell you the best way I could handle it. Hail Mary, get me out of here. And Hashem says, No. La'anoscha, I'm going to cause you affliction. To force you to transform. And that's extremely demanding. It's extremely demanding. But life isn't Disney World. And we should stop wanting or expecting life to be Disney World. Life is climbing Mount Everest. Now that sounds nice if you never climbed Mount Everest, which I don't think any of us did. But I spoke to a guy one time who climbed Mount Everest, and he told me, it's Pikuach, every step is Pikuach Nefesh. I didn't know. The first time I heard that, I didn't chop. Like, why would you climb it? And he said, no, that's the Gishmak, that every step is Pikuach Nefesh. And he said, once you get to a certain step, it's just breathing is Pikuach Nefesh. Just existing there is Pikuach Nefesh. Forget taking steps. Okay, a lot of thrill seekers in the world. But the more he explained to me what Mount Everest is, and then also, I think he did Mount Kilimanjaro, and he was telling me the difference, there's chilukim between the two mountains, but they're both pikuach nefesh, every step. And then I understood that's what life is. Life, when you get into the real kishkas of life, every step is pikuach nefesh. And the things that you feel are destroying you, and I say, this is like a preempt, I hope. I don't know what I hope, actually. I imagine, I would guess, that to a lot of you, half of you, some of you, most of you, I would imagine, this is a preemptive shmooze. You know, last night as an example, you know, I spoke about Gzela, I said you shouldn't steal. So, you know, some guys don't like that commandment. It's a commandment they don't like. So they said, no, that's not stealing, nothing's stealing, everything you're allowed to steal, stealing is mutter. And then Max, Hashem should bless him, tells me, it's not stealing, because we're all rich white kids, and we all just share money. You know, some guy said communism, Beferish, he was implying communism. That's like the wealthy, aristocratic society of communism he was describing. Other people are just saying, nobody ever paid me back, so I don't pay them back. And we have this communist agreement that we all share money, and hopefully I share more of theirs than they share of mine. And there's this just Heskim among Bnei Adam. But Max said, my money's free. My money's hefker. You know, we're all, my money's hefker. And that's an attitude of life where just nothing's serious. Everything's loose. Everything's light. And I believe people have that mentality when life is Disney World. Life is Disney World. So money's play money, and you could tell a person, you could tell your friend, put your arm around his shoulder and say, you could handle it, because you've never been there. So that's why the chizuk you've been told to share with him is, if Hashem gave you the test, you could handle it. And then you give him play money, and life is Disney World. Life is, you know, you're playing Barbie. I don't know if that's what you did as a kid, but you're still doing it as an adult. You're still playing Barbie. And when you get up and you go through these types of experiences in life, you start to realize that Hashem's interest in your personal existence is la'anoscha, is to cause you affliction. And not l'shma, it's not for that purpose, and that's the be-all and end-all, and that's the goal, l'nasoscha. So when you encounter these life circumstances, which you will, you got to level up. You have to understand what you have to do now. You know how easy this is? Not easy. You know how many people break because of this? Most people. I don't know if most people can get past level one. When I see people living, I don't know if most people get past level one. When we say Avraham Avinu had 10 nisyonos, I remember when I was a little younger, a little bit used to bother me. 10? I could do 10 nisyonos in one day. Like his whole life? He lived a long life, the guy. He was a big tzaddik. 10? All he had was 10? That doesn't surprise anybody in the room. Avraham Avinu, the guy who we all sit on his shoulders, he had 10 nisyonos. When I was young, I used to think I had 10 nisyonos a day. I really believed that. I thought, you know, I had a nisyon here, not to do this, to do that. a challenge. And then one day in my life, I met a Nisayon. And then I said, Avram, how do you do one? How do you do one of these things? One Nisayon could take a decade. For a lot of people, it could take multiple decades. One Nisayon is not, you wake up and you say, I could handle the Nisayon. Hashem, Hail Mary, life is good. And if that doesn't work, go to a makubal and get a bracha, and then life is fine. Welcome to reality. And I'm not saying this is not like a, you know, the Sharia is a happy place, and here is a sad place. I'm not trying to bring us back to a sad place. What I'm trying to do is, the summer is closing, and I'd like to have conversations that I feel are extremely difficult to have outside of camp. Because outside of camp, it's not the real world. Outside of camp is Olam HaShekir Lagamre. We have to pretend. Everybody's got to pretend. In camp, you know, last night I thought to myself, I went in a, you know, we daven Maariv, and I went last night in a davening jacket. Why? Because I was invited as a rabbi. So, but you guys see me, this is my underwear. I walk around in my underwear in camp. This is my underwear. This is how I go to sleep. Like this, like I put on a hoodie. So this is my underwear. We all see each other in, you guys literally, you know, halavai to the underwear. And okay, so that's your underwear, this is my underwear. And we're with each other a whole summer, 24/7, in our underwear. We go over there last night, you know, announcement. What did it say on the flyer? It says, dress appropriately. Also, I put on a jacket, you know. I went back to the pretend world. Lights, cameras, you put your arm around the right guy, and the camera takes a good chashiva, you know, recording of you, schmack, you get good pictures over there. It's the Olam HaShekir. But in this place, in camp, what camp is supposed to be, for sure in the Kolo, it's an Olam HaEmes. And the Olam HaEmes, we could have a real conversation. It's very hard to have in the outside world. And we need chizuk when we go back to the outside world. Again, it's preemptive. If you don't need it yet, you will need it. And you should know when you cross that challenge, and you're going to fight it, you're going to resist it. You're going to fight it and resist it and say, it's not, can't be, it's not me, until you wake up one day and you say, you give me a call, hi, Ben, how you doing? Is there a number, is there a link to the Nebuch Society that you mentioned one time? I need to join that Nebuch Society. I fought it, I didn't want to believe it. Oh man, but I'm really part of that club. And we all are. If you think you escaped the Nebuch Society, you're just living in Olam HaDimyon, Olam HaShekir. Again, I don't mean that every 19-year-old got there yet, but you will get there. Why? Because Hashem loves you. That's what it says. Kasher Yasser as Ishas Benam. Same way a father loves his kid. And what does a father do to his kid? He forces him to do, what's it called when you practice for basketball? You go laugh back and forth. Suicide. Your father forces you to do suicide. Dad, I thought you loved me. What's going on right now? Dad, what's going on? What happened to the Abba? Your father's being machai of you to commit suicide. What's that? You know, that's, I hold that Zecher Lakeda. Zecher Lakeda is Yitzchak. Yitzchak looked at his father, Dad, what are we doing? This is serious right now. You're going to nifter me right now? So every kid is doing suicides. Dad is being nifter the kid. So Hashem says, yeah. It's going to feel sometimes like I'm being nifter you over here. I'm making you run suicides. That's what life is. That's what life is supposed to be. So I said my piece. That's my piece. Again, it's preemptive, I know. And if there's pushback, I would expect as much. And I'm not trying to get anybody down, but I do like speaking about honest and yanim. And it's also meforish bikra. Meforish bikra, so it's an inyan that we should definitely be aware of. Okay, anybody want to share anything? Not stories of Nebuch, not stories running society, but I would, if it's fresh right now, if you have any pushback, I would appreciate to respond to pushback, because I would like to get this right, and I don't want to get this wrong.
Not pushback, but at the end of the day, life goes on. How do you know if you've taken out what you're supposed to take out, if you've leveled up, or if you just eventually
leveled up? My answer from what I learned, from what I understand, from what I see, my answer is when you're back to Menuchas and Nefesh. Suffering is, it removes, if. It eliminates your menuchas and nefesh. You live a life of agony. And the reason why there's so much pain in that is because I used to enjoy life. I used to be so happy and content and satisfied with life. And then when this started happening to me, the circumstance arose in your life, so then you're pulled into a place of defeat and yish and anguish. It's hard. It's difficult. When you go back permanent, this, again, it fluctuates, but if you go back permanently into a state of menuchas and nefesh, you've graduated. It doesn't mean the nisayon has evolved. The nisayon could be just as bad. But you've graduated because now you're at your level of tranquility. And not tranquility out of ignorance. Not tranquility because you smoke a lot of weed. I'm not saying that. Not because you smoke a lot and not because you're just like, you ignore reality. I'm not talking about that. You're living in reality, but you accepted it, you embraced it, and you're makabel it, and now you go weiter in a healthy, comfortable, satisfied, happy type of way. You continue to live life. And the incident, the circumstance, doesn't destroy you. It's elevated you. When you carry that circumstance, you've elevated, as opposed to it carries you. Because when it carries you, you break. And if I'm speaking in vague terms, again, because it has to be applied to each scenario differently, I'm trying to give the most broad description of what that might feel like. And I'm just trying to describe a genuine feeling that I think people have before and after this. And it's not like a clear finish line. You'll probably trickle back and forth, over and back of the finish line. You'll think you've escaped, and then you're back in it, and then hopefully you spend more time here, and then you cross.
At what point does the, you're saying that Hashem gives a challenge that we can't handle? At what point does that become one that we can handle?
You can?
You can.
It's a waste of time. Why would he give you a new sign that you can handle?
Well, it's sort of funny.
What's it going to do for you?
At a certain point, you have to overcome that.
You're already there.
No.
You're already there. If you could handle it, you're already there. He doesn't need to la'anoska, the asreka. He doesn't need to develop you if you could handle it. It's just a shino nusach. I think we're saying the same thing. I just prefer my nusach because your nusach, that nusach implies that you're there already. And my nusach says you're not there already. You need to transform. You need to change your character. You need to change your existence. You need to change your life. And sometimes in very significant ways. In ways that you're not prepared for. When I see people, sometimes you might have seen this. I see people that I knew them when I was 20 or 30, and I see them in my 40s, and even visually, even superficially, even externally, it's like, what happened to you? Now, I'm not judging a book by its cover, but sometimes just the cover, and sometimes it's the book, sometimes you see a guy who in his 30s, he was messing around, he was having a good life, he was doing this and that and the other thing. You meet him in his 40s, Langebart, the pace is coming out of every side of his face, and that's just externalities. I'm not saying that's indicative of development, but if it is indicative of development, it's something to see. I'll say something that's maybe controversial, not maybe, I'll say something that is controversial, and it's not our business to discuss, not our business at all to discuss, but I'll say what is public knowledge for, not for discussion, it's not our business to discuss. I will discuss it as far as it should and could be discussed. I think like 10, maybe 15 years ago, there was a fellow named Matisio, and he looked one way. And this fellow looks a different way today. He's changed. Now, what's not to discuss is, has he changed for the good or for the better? That's nobody's business. That's his business, that's Hashem's business. Nobody's business. But I see change, and now I always tend to err, I would like to try to tend to err on the side of Dan Lekavschus, and I see something impressive. To change yourself takes a lot of courage, tremendous amount of courage. Now you might argue you could change for the negative. I'm not encouraging that. I'm not condoning changing for the negative. But sometimes you meet people who take on significant, and I'm giving external examples because that's what's visible. But obviously I'm not focusing, and I'm not, the issue is zero having to do with external. I'm just using that as just an example. But internally, you also meet people that when they were 20s and 30s and 40s, they're just different people. Lagamri, different people. And I see that as they're doing things right. Because when you hit a nisayon, that you can't handle, what do you have to do? You got to transform.
Do you think those things were things that were always dormant, or the things that you created?
No, I think Hashem wanted, I don't know, to pull it out of you or to put it in you. I don't know what's the right nusach. Hashem either wanted to pull it out of you or to put it in you. But and it doesn't mean Hashem wasn't happy with who you are at the age of 25. At the age of 25, Hashem got so much nachas from you. But he said, that was a great version of you at 25. Now I want a new version of you. So here's your new la'anoscha, la'asreka. I want when you're 35, you're going to be different. He's going to pull it out of you or put it in you. But most of us, it's too hard to transform. I live in a community. Everybody expects something of me. Everybody, that's why some of us prefer, and I would encourage you to prefer it, some of us prefer having fresh starts. I'm going to go to yeshiva, we're not so many of my friends are going to college, where I don't have, you know, too many people from my history, from my background, go to a new camp. Why? Because a fresh start allows you to transform. But once you get married, you have a community, you have a family, you're going to go to the same shul, and you're going to be a different person? That's impossible. That you can't handle that nisayon. Hashem says, that's why I gave it to you. Yeah, this is going to be fun. Hashem's going to have a good time watching this. And he believes in you. Kasher Yasser Ishus Beno, just like the father believes in his son, Hashem believes in you. But he wants to see that transformation. And that's why you should know, Agav, that's why I'm especially sensitive to external transformation. Because external transformation sometimes leads you into the false self-deception that you've transformed. You haven't transformed anything when you externally transform. That's zero. Hashem doesn't even see that. Hashem still sees you in your underwear. Hashem doesn't notice that you've externally transformed. That's not noticeable in God's eyes. Hashem wants a real transformation. So what you wear, how you dress, how you carry yourself, that doesn't do anything. So don't walk into that deceptive world. It's not worth it. It doesn't get you anywhere.
When you meet these cases of people who never lived up to a challenge, and it was a challenge that they couldn't handle and could never handle, how do you have a deep emuna problem?
I don't have a deep emuna problem because of these psukim. The psukim, like the same way when the Holocaust happens, you know, things like that. So how do you not have a emuna problem? Hashem told us it's going to happen. Now maybe what you mean is, and that I do have a problem. I have a problem understanding Darchei Hashem. And that's what you mean by emuna. Like my emuna gets shaken, not my faith in God or my belief in God, but my understanding of God that gets shaken. That I would agree with. I don't understand why God does what He does. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't make my kid run suicide. I would go easy on him. I don't understand the way of God. But God told us preemptively, I'm going to l'nasoscha, I'm going to l'anoscha. I'm going to do that.
But just ultimately, the change is for better. But when it happens, that this person never
so
changes.
That, because
and he gives a life of suffering.
Because He gave us Bechira Chavshis. And He's, we're not, in our generation, I'm not talking about your parents, but I can say about you, and I say this with a lot of grains of salt, you're not going to be good parents. Why? Because you're all very nice people. Americans are not good parents. They're all very nice people. Go meet a not American parent. It's a whole different game. If you have a Persian, Iranian, Russian parent, it's a different game. It's a different game. It's a game of, there's no baseball catches. There's no let's go to a Knick game. There's demands. You know, you come up with a 96. Why not 100? You know, you won the basketball game. You didn't score 30 points. It's like you're never good enough. So we're Americans. We can't. When a parent does that to us, we need a lot of therapists. We can't handle that. We can't run suicides. So Hashem blessed us with parents that are wonderful for us. But Hashem's not an American parent. Hashem doesn't take us to ball games. Hashem's a European parent. When we get a 96, Hashem says, you could have gotten 100. You know, when you missed one shot, Hashem said, you should have hit that shot. You would have practiced a little more. You could have hit that shot. Hashem's a European parent. So now we have three parents. Two of them are Americans. Oh boy, are we lucky. That's great news. But one of them is European. One of them is not American. So it's a nice combination because we have two parents who are kind and good and gracious and accepting, and one parent is very demanding. So he gives us a support system. He gives us whatever support we need, but at the same time, he knows what we could do in this lifetime. He knows what he could ask of us. Like I said, if it's within us or he's trying to put it in us, but he believes in us. He really believes in us. If anything, it strengthens my faith in Hashem because Hashem has a lot of faith in us. Hashem has faith in us. I had a Rebbe in high school. He signed my yearbook. It's not like a find my yearbook. I'd love to see it. But he signed my yearbook. He wrote, I hope, I daven, something like that. I hope that one day you believe in yourself as much as I believe in you. It was very meaningful to me because he was on the money. At that stage of my life, I knew what I was capable of, and it was very different than what he knew I was capable of. We both knew, but I knew wrong and he knew right. And that was always a great line for me to think about. Who you are today is not who you need to be. You could transform. Today, if you're not experiencing that nisayon, not yet. But when you experience that, know that it's meant to transform you. And always, not sometimes, always, always, in the way you want to least transform. I love a lot that guys who were, I was in yeshiva with guys, and they said, I'm going to the army, I'm living in Israel, I'm never leaving the country. They waved flags out of every hand that they didn't have. These guys walked draped in every Israeli flag. Today, for good reason, for good, honest reason, they live in America. The dream still exists, but Hashem forced them to transform. And watching that was incredibly inspirational. Incredibly. Because they were somebody, and Hashem said, watch how life happens. And they had to transform in the way that they would never in a million years want to transform. And they have, Hashem, I want to do this for you. And Hashem said, I appreciate that. I want you to do something different. I can't tell you how many good examples I have like that of people who in the way least, it causes them the worst pain. Their whole life ambition was to go here. And Hashem pushed like this. And Hashem is telling you, I like your agenda. My agenda is more important, you know. And I, like you said, do I understand the ways of Hashem? I struggle also. We all struggle. Why Hashem causes this seeming pain to people, especially people don't. Some people don't manage to succeed. You want to be sympathetic? We'll cry together. I will cry together. The guy who spoke tonight, I looked at him and I started to cry. I just looked at him. All I had to do was look at him. A guy was in captivity. I just started to tear up already. Why does a guy have to go through that? I don't understand the ways of Hashem. But he told us, you're not going to understand my ways. But it doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And we have faith. Right? I put my faith in you. Show me the way. I'm just saying the song. Literally, the whole shmooze is that song. I put my faith in you. That's your cousin. Like your cousin. Right. Rav Shimon is his, like, kind of cousin. I put my faith in you. Show me the way. How is it? What's the rest? To the way that is true. Yeah. That you kids here, you just said the whole shmooze. That was the whole shmooze. What are you pointing? Yeah. You helped write that song? Write that song? Did you write that song? Okay, first of all, now, that tracks very much.
When someone gets to that insight, how do they know?
The Nisayon tells you. Always the Nisayon tells you. Because the Nisayon tells you that the way you're living life, you can't live life like that and get through this. And what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to significantly change. And the Nisayon tells you how. You just won't do it. you will resist it at every cost. You'll resist it because of pride, because of hashkafic issues, ideological issues, personal beliefs. You'll have every great reason to resist that transformation. And Hashem sits waiting for you to transform. And you'll resist because what if now people are going to see you, people are going to judge you, people will think things about you, they'll call you Nebuch, they'll say you gave in, you gave up, and only Hashem knows that you've just climbed to the next level. The Nisayon tells you, it's never complicated, never. It's always so clear how to transform, but you can't. You just can't. You're not capable of doing it. You just can't. Until you say to yourself, I'm going to break, or I'm going to change. And that's a very hard... Some people prefer to break. The pain of breaking to some people is preferable over the pain of transformation. You should know that. That's also a choice. And I think that's a very deep opinion, that they're both very painful. So some people prefer the pain of breaking. I will just live in this pain until I die. I'll prefer that over transformation. Because if you understand what transformation entails, that will cause me too much pain. I can't do that. Yeah, this is not a... Tonight's Sharia. Tonight's supposed to be like a... You know, they didn't invite us. I said, let's get heavy over here. Let's get heavy. Ezra, yeah.
Maybe keep singing Shemkhad, like, transform, that fighting back is useless. But what about standing for your values and doing things that you believe in? Even if it's hard, you should sometimes stick
I'll back. Give you an example that, like I said, I don't want to give examples because examples are very, very dangerous. But I'll give you an example that I started with. That is not an example that, thank God, any of us are personally familiar with. Thank God. And I can't speak to the example because it's not relevant to us. I'll just give like a generic concept out of the example. If, you know, Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky, after 150 years, had a baby. I don't know if you know what that is. But, right. So Rosh Yeshiva, he couldn't have kids for 150 years. And then he got married, second wife. He's 90? Oh, is he 90? He was 88, something like that. He was 87. Machlok is 87, 88. Machlok is how old he was. And he had a child. 88 years old. He's Baruch Hashem, he's alive. Hashem should continue to give him health. And he has a kid now. He's 2 years old, I guess. 2 years old. I'm up sharing soon. Everybody's invited to up sharing. 88-year-old daddy. Today he's 90, I guess. He's 90 and he has a son. So his whole life, and that's he's Avram Avinu. That was Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu davened to have a child. Davened to have a child with Sarah. And Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky was the modern day version, not even like a stretch of a comparison, a literal comparison of Avram Avinu, give or take 10 years, you know? But exactly the same situation. So God forbid a couple is struggling with that. Okay. So you have Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky, I'm not talking about that. A couple hits an age, eventually, let's say 60, I don't know what age, and you can't, it's not working. Or even, God forbid, an earlier age, when medically they stop trying because it can't. God forbid, it shouldn't happen, but these things are reality. So God forbid, so now you can live in agony because your whole life you dreamed of having kids, amazing kids, and every hack in yeshiva you spoke to all your friends, how are you going to raise your kids? Your kids are going to be the coolest kid in Morashah and the firmest kid in MKY, and you're going to have mamish, the superstar kids, and you're going to be the best dad, and you practiced and you worked on it, and every sefer you ever learned was so that you should teach your kids, and every skill that they told you to develop in Gemara was that you should be able to learn with your son. And now, the dream is gone. Your whole life has to change direction. Because if you keep that direction, it's going to keep crumbling.
At least you fought. No. You need to transform.
No, that's why I said, this example is not a good example because none of us are in it, thank God. And it's also not a good example because none of us could speak to it because we're not in it. And it's also not a good example because it's a specific example. But in every example that you encounter, you'll find that there is a space to fight, certainly. Certainly there is a space to fight. And even while you're fighting, you'll see you're going to be limited in that fight. And then certainly when you see the battle is over and you've lost, quote-unquote lost, when you've lost especially, is the greatest simon from Shemayim that you know what to do right now. You know what to do. Stop playing the same game. You got to start playing a different game. And even, again, when you're still fighting, you'll learn that you need to also start fighting a different game. The same game, fighting that same game, is just making you break and break and break and break and break. It's not making things better. You're just getting worse. Okay. Last thing, and then we'll learn a lot.
So yeah. Do you like, in the CERN, like this brick wall you're going to hit, is like, you're going to be like transformed and changed, something's going to be different. Is that Hashem saying that like,
no, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom. And I want to, I said it before, but I want to emphasize, I want to say it very strongly. You've, Adrava, Avram Avinu had 10 Nisyonos because he's fulfilled that Tafkid. It means you did a great job. It's the opposite. It's an applause. It's a standing ovation. When you have that Nisayon, this is the most important thing. I'm sorry. This is like the most important thing to share. Thank you. That's why I wanted to take questions, to remind me of what I want to say. That was the most important part of the Shmuz. That when you have that Nisayon, it's the biggest standing ovation from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You've just passed level one. You know, that's an unbelievable compliment. That's great news. Now it's time for level two. So, God forbid, I want to talk about you, but if a person is extremely amazing, incredible at chesed, you know, doing all kinds of chesedim, and he's doing such an amazing job, and he gives his life for it, and then he hits a point where, for whatever reason, becomes impossible, for whatever chas v'shalom reason, becomes impossible. So Hashem is giving you a standing ovation. He said, you did your mission. Unbelievable. Next, mission two. No, it's a compliment. Take it as a tremendous compliment. Tremendous compliment. Time to move on. And then you pass level two, and maybe in our lives, we might have three. Avram had 10. 10 of these. 10 of these. I think back to two points of my life that I would say were like, yeah, you go through hard times and you go through times that are just impossible. So I think back to two points of my life that were impossible. And I say about those two times that I would never give those times up. I would never give those times up. What I've accomplished in those times, what I've transformed in those times were the most transformative and necessary parts of my life, for sure, for sure. But if you threaten to put me back there, I'm taking option B. I'm not going back there. No way. No way. So Avram had to go back there 10 times. I don't want to go back there 10 times. No way. No way. If Hashem gives us one or two, Dayenu. 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 If you're a bit tzaddik, maybe you'll hit three. But again, lowly day nisayon, you're not trying to get more. Avram, you had 10, don't be a tzaddik. Just be a regular guy. And if he gives you one or two, just work through those one or two. And if Hashem gives you three, you should know you're from the Lamed Vav Tzadikim of the world. Avram had 10. 10. 10. Okay, Shkayach. Have a good night. Shkayach. This one.